From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the final portion of a message entitled The Comfort and Confidence of Knowing That God Knows, part of his series on the subject of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, the Lord Jesus said, Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. The burden of this message has been to emphasize the truth that God always has his people in mind, that the circumstances of our lives are under his kind and loving control. It is for us as his people to have a single eye to his glory, knowing that he will always do what is best for us. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message shortly. First, however, he encourages those who wish to know more about God's way of salvation to ask for a copy of his booklet, A New Beginning, in which he deals with a number of topics, one of which is a warning against the danger of delay.
Many years ago, I used to go to a children's meeting when I was just a little boy. And in that Friday night meeting, there was a smile, indeed a laugh went up, when one night the preacher asked, All who want to go to heaven, all who would like to go to heaven, please put your hand up. And of course, all the little boys and girls put their hand up. Didn't everybody want to go to heaven? Except one little fellow up in the front, and he kept his hands down, and he was looking very tearful. And the preacher looked down at him. He said, Son, do you not want to go to heaven? He said, I do, sir, but I promised my mommy I would go straight home after the meeting. We laughed, and yet, you know, though the little boy had got it all so mixed up, was he any more mixed up than most adults today? Most adults will tell you, yes, they intend to get to heaven. They intend to be there. There's very few people set out deliberately to go to hell. They ultimately think they're going to get to heaven. They don't intend to live and die rejecting Christ. They don't intend to die an enemy of God with sins unforgiven. They intend to get to glory. But yet many do die in sin, rejecting Christ. You see, you may intend to repent. You may intend to become a Christian. You may intend to trust in Christ. But while you delay, you run a deadly risk. The Bible says that you should not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart against God. Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4 both make that emphatic statement. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 warns you, He that hardeneth his neck after being warned many times will be suddenly cut off. And he'd be beyond remedy. So you're warned that there's danger and there's death in delay. You're like a man who is standing on a railroad track and the express is hurtling toward him at 100 miles an hour, and that distance is decreasing second by second. You're deaf and you're blind. You cannot tell how near or how far that express locomotive is from you, but you're standing blithely in the track and saying, Well, I've time enough. But you don't have time enough. One of the saddest experiences in my ministry was coming across a 16-year-old boy who had been in our children's meetings in a church that I labored in many years ago. I'd gone to visit someone else, but I found him there. I spoke to him about his soul. He was having a procedure that was quite commonplace, he thought, and he really didn't have much time for the gospel. I pleaded with him. I left him some literature. I told him I'd drop in the next day I was in the hospital. It was just a few days away. And that was the last time, that young boy ever heard the gospel. I don't know what he did with it. As I left him, he had plenty of time. He was only 16. He had plenty of time. The next time I heard his name mentioned was to tell me he was in eternity. There's danger. There's death in delay. So get to Christ and get to Christ today. For today is the day of salvation.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, to which Dr. Cairns made reference earlier in the broadcast. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Are Christians called to bear burdens? Yes, they are. There's a great deal of confusion that God would never allow you to be sick. That's the devil. And if only you had enough faith, then you wouldn't be sick. I must say, I get rather irate at these charismatic charlatans who go into the woman. I know of a case going into a woman dying of cancer, telling her, "You're healed. In the name of God, you're healed." She takes the liar at his word, dismisses her doctor's medications, only to find she was dying still. And when she's lying there in the throes of awful agony, the same charlatan has the audacity to come and tell her, "You didn't have enough faith."
when there was a healing going, he had the faith.
But once there was no healing, it was because she didn't. Such charlatans and liars in the name of God have an awful, awful crime to answer for at the judgment bar of God. Does God allow and ordain that his people bear burdens? You look at your Bible and get the answer. There are burdens that come as the direct result of sin. There are other burdens that come simply because we are yet human in a sinful world. And there are yet other burdens that are special dispensations of an inscrutable providence that God allows for his glory and the greater good of the cause of Christ. But if you know your Father knows, God knows the way that I take. God knows what he's doing with me. God understands and he knows my need. Then it will enable you to endure the burden you've got to bear. It will encourage you to rest, assured that God will answer wisely and well. His answer will be best, because he knows. And it will equip us to receive the answer that he sends. You see, God knows our needs. Often we don't. We think we do, but we don't. We really do need to get our perception changed very often. It happens as we wait upon the God who knows what we need. We especially need to have our perception changed from the temporal to the eternal. We often need to have our desires modified. This is one of the great reasons why the Lord keeps bringing us to the place of prayer and communion. When we come to pray, what's the most natural thing in the world? We simply express the feelings and the desires of the flesh. There is that surface expression, that thing that is natural. But we are called to be spiritual, to go beyond the natural. And often to have our desires modified away from mere expressions of the flesh to an expression of the will of God. To do that, we need to have our understanding of things brought into line with the Father's knowledge. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And as we get alone with God, we may come to understand things very differently from the way they appear to the understanding of the world. We need that in prayer. We need to have our will submitted to his will, that not only in words, but from the depths of our heart, "Thy will, not mine, be done," will be our cry. And in all of this, we need to have a single eye to the glory of God. Now, that's very easy to say. What does it mean? It means first that my own suffering takes a second place to the glory of God. It means my comfort takes a second place to the glory of God. A single eye to God's glory will say, whether I live or whether I die, let me do what brings glory to my Redeemer. Take Job. Job complained. I'll not say he complained a lot, for I think most of us would have complained 1,000 times more. He's noted even in the New Testament for his patience. But Job did complain, and he found fault with the Lord. because he couldn't understand why what was happening. When you get to the end of the book of Job, some things are very interesting. The Lord began to speak, and he never did tell Job why. I want you to understand that. God doesn't owe you or me an explanation. For the very good reason, he is God. And for the second reason, we couldn't understand it. How these little minds of ours could come to grips with the vastness of the intricacy of God's eternal purpose, we couldn't understand it. So he didn't make Job understand why. He simply showed him the greatness of his glory. Now here's the thing. Job was still suffering at that time. The boils hadn't gone away. The racking physical pain was still there. He was still bereft of all his wealth and all his children, and there hadn't been a word of restoring anything to him. He was still, therefore, physically in the depths that he was in while he had been complaining. The only difference now is he catches a glimpse of the greatness of his God. And notice this, there were no more complaints. Confession, yes. The emptying of himself before God, prostration before the Savior, yes, but no more complaints. Why? Why? Because he got a glimpse of God. He knew his father knew. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I rejoice in my sufferings. And I want to fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in me. When people tried to keep him back from going to Jerusalem because they said, you're going to suffer and die, he says, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the sake or the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what he meant when he said, to me, to live. That meant suffering, affliction, pain, being stoned, being left bloodied and broken as a dead man. It meant being shipwrecked. It meant being ostracized by his fellow countrymen, disowned even by the Christian churches that he had established. It meant brokenness of body and many a time brokenness of heart. But he said, that's life. I'm willing to live it all because to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Or as I keep quoting when John Calvin came to that text, he said it means simply, whether I live or whether I die, Christ is my gain. It's all for Christ. That's what destroys the complaint. That's what gives you the confidence. Just seeing the Lord and knowing that he knows. There was one great English romantic poet who reached his 31st birthday. And he wrote in his diary something to this effect. I'm 31. I have everything. He knew the genius he possessed. And the great vistas that his poetic imagination opened up. Everything that a man at 31 could have. He said, why? Why am I unhappy? Why did he become an opium addict? Why did he have to live his life in oblivion? Why? Because he had the despair, not of suffering. He had the despair priceless pleasure. The truth of the matter is that whatever your lot in life, to know God and Jesus Christ as your Savior, to be able to lift your heart in communion with God in the deep assurance, my Father knows, and whatever He calls me to endure, it is for His eternal glory and for my eternal good. That will keep you from despair. That will give you the comfort and the confidence of knowing your Father knows.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.